See, the recording is going, so.
Yep. For Saturday, April 11th. I have to keep checking the calendar.
Yeah.
No idea what day of the week it is anymore, what to date. It's just a mess. I haven't been here in a while. Work has gotten me. They tend to schedule conference calls for me right at noon. I don't know why, but all week. Actually, I was double booked yesterday.
Okay.
Hey, I'm working. I'm still getting paid. I'm fine. Yeah.
In today's world, that's a good thing.
Yeah. 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 So many people I know are out of work. I wouldn't know what to do. I don't know how to do it. I need to pay everything off.
Well, I'm thankful. I was a correctional officer for the state of Connecticut. I did that for 21 years. So I have my state pension.
Cool.
So I've been doing IT jobs. I went back to school for IT and, well, actually, right now I'm in between contracts. I've been doing contracted positions for the past 2 years, so on and off. So
that's good.
So, yeah. So obviously, I'm not going back to work anytime soon, but hopefully, I'm still looking, and we'll see what happens if there, you know, if there's jobs that I can do remotely.
Yeah.
Or just wait until this blows over and then, you know, work at a physical location.
Yeah. Luckily I got one of the guys up in Rochester requested that I be part of a project in northern New Jersey, even though I don't really support that. Because I work in New York City and Manhattan, but I drive through the town that the project is going to be in. So he said, no, I want you on it. So I'm covered for a little while. It'll be remote. So,
right.
Yeah. So that'll be good. I'm still covered for a little while, at least.
So yeah. You'll be working from home?
Yeah. Yeah.
And my wife still works. She has her job, is, associated with, military contracts and stuff like that. So she's considered, what do you call it?
Essential.
Essential. Yeah. Yeah. So,
yeah. Yeah. My team covers from New York City down to, through Virginia, and the guys and my teammates down in Virginia and DC, they're busy. You know, all the government offices are open. They're running around, and I've been sitting in the house for almost a month now. But they're going out. They've got the protocols to follow. We have letters that we have to show the clients, and they've got to have to wear gloves and masks and everything. Yeah. So, but I'm sitting here doing not nothing, but at least I'm not going out.
You know? Right.
It's a fun thing. Now everyone in a lot of places, if you're not going to public offices, or you have to wear protective masks and all this crap. If you did that 2 months ago, you might be having a few visits from security.
Right. Right. See, my thing was I work in Manhattan. New York City, and my clients didn't wait for the governor to shut everything down. They shut themselves down. So,
yeah,
I'm staying at home, working when I can, learning other stuff when I can.
Yeah, it's weird. They were watching a few of the Louis Rossman videos. He's been doing a few bicycle videos to and from work.
Yeah.
And everything is empty.
Yeah. Yeah.
Almost no traffic, and the traffic is actually going at the speed limit. So.
Yeah. You posted one. You put a link up for one of them, and he almost went right by my office. I'm like, I can't even get away from work. So. I took apart my Raspberry Pi cluster because I had a couple of nodes that got corrupted. So I'm just rebuilding it all now. So
got my. Yeah. And I have to replace I have an external hard drive. And I noticed yesterday that I don't use it as often. So I have a few, I have some music on there. And if the error messages in the syslog is to believe, everything is gone for. So I may have to. So.
Yeah, my cluster wasn't connected to a UPS, and I had some power outages. So a couple of the nodes got corrupted. So I got my 8 Raspberry Pi 3s there, and I'm just rebuilding one by one. Got a little HDMI monitor connected to it. Something different.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, something I want to do for a change, you know, instead of
work. Is that like just a fun project, or is that something that you're trying to accomplish something with? Or
no, just a fun project. Right. Something to do. Something that I'm not required to do. You know, lately I've been doing a lot of stuff that I'm required to do.
Right.
Yeah. So to me, this is downtime.
Yeah, I come from a computer and IT background, but even though, messing with computers since the, set in 78, I took computers in high school and then messed around with, mostly, I had a Radio Shack Model 1 for a short period of time, then mostly with Commodore, and been messing with computers ever since. And I build computers. I got to, like I mentioned before, I got to run Ethernet through my house and set up speakers and stuff through the house. So it's been... it's been interesting. A little project that I have an entertainment closet that's behind my TV, and that has, I kind of built a wooden rack, like it's not. But I eventually want to put a server rack in there and have stuff mounted. I have my router, my cable modem, and I have a 24 port switch in there that runs Ethernet throughout the house.
Nice.
So I want to rewire that, get it all neatened up, and.
Yeah, maybe the next coffee break I'll take it from the basement where all my stuff is.
Oh yeah, I have a lot to do in the basement as well.
Yeah, once if I can get to it, the basement's a wreck, total wreck.
Right.
And here comes OnePlus 7 Pro. Interesting nickname.
I guess. Hello.
I guess it's the
most. Hey, Robert.
Hey. I was able to make it.
Yes. Yes, you were.
Hey, Robert.
Hi.
What's it like down there?
Hopefully it's raining today.
Hopefully raining.
Yeah, we haven't had any rain in the last 4 weeks.
Wow. Yeah, you guys need it then.
Yeah. How are you guys doing? Sorry I'm late.
Oh, that's okay. Very good. Just chatting. No Robbie today.
No. Hey, everybody.
Hi, Peter.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Robbie had to go to work.
Yeah, and I'm in the process of purchasing a used server, a two server with six slots for hard drives. So
nice.
It's a dual CPU something with 96 gigabytes of RAM.
Ooh,
yeah,
sweet.
So sweet. And it's the price is around. Maybe $200.
$200.
Yeah.
That's a bargain.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I thought so too. So, and I've been pondering the last few months get a new system to offload some of the virtual machines that I have running on my main desktop system.
Yeah. So,
and then this came around.
Cool.
And it's on our drive away, so it's not too far. And he has been using the system as a VMware server at a data center somewhere.
Oh, cool. Yeah. My first introduction to computers, I was 12.
Wow.
It was funny though, because they had an advanced math class in my junior high school, and they offered me a summer class in college, which, like, I just got out of school. I didn't want to go to summer school and when I was 12, you know.
Yeah, I'm not.
But my parents made me go at least for the first day. I was gonna learn PL1. And it was just way over my head, and there was no chance I was going to get a computer at home either. So I said, "Nah, I couldn't do it." By the way, if I knew then what I know now,
right,
I should have stayed in it.
Yeah, my first experience in computers was at the sixth grade at school, in 86, I think. In the Norway, there was a Norwegian computer manufacturer who made a computer. I think it was was only sold in Norway, and the operating system was Norwegian. All the commands was in Norwegian.
Wow.
So, and I remember in that first year, we made a Norwegian English program to where we were asked questions about what does this mean in English, and then we had three tries. So the teacher had printed out the source code, and we had to enter it. So
nice,
that was fun.
Probably about when I was about nine, I had Spectrums and Commodores and things like that at the beginning. I learned machine code and C mainly. I started very young. I was more interested in electronics, but I wanted to work out some of the circuit, build filters and things, and I was using computers to design my car. Sorry about that. Sorry, the car. filters and things. I probably was about 15, 16 then. I thought some other guy had a whole lot of money.
I think about every other break this happens.
It's Murphy's Law.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did that. You know, like being I taught him computing, and he was also not dyslexic, and very good he was. He went off to university because of me. So he's working his own business, I think, in England. I knew his mother anyway, so yeah, mother went to the same church as us. Hopefully nice. he's smoking a reefer, I'm sure of that.
I remember a friend of mine had a Commodore 64 at home. I remember this one time we were going to play a game. He entered a cassette, and then he ran a command, and then he pushed play, And then we went outside and played for 45 minutes before, and then we came back. The program was loaded.
And a file size of, I don't know, 100 KB was already something spectacular.
Yeah.
That was huge.
When I had my Radio Shack Model 1, I had a cassette player. When I got the Commodore 64, I didn't even know what a disk drive was, but I knew it was better than the cassette player. The Commodore 64 cost $200. The disk drive that came with it was $250.
Wow.
The disk drive actually cost more than the computer.
That's crazy.
Still got my Amiga 500 upstairs with lots of games, which from the guy called Alexander gave me. He was actually teaching me to hack as well. I was about 20 years older than he was. His mother asked me to teach him, help him teach computing, because he has a sort of problem I got. He was teaching me how to hack. 16 he was, and I was about, probably about 25 or something. He was older than me, though. But he was very good. I mean, he was bloody brilliant. I was anybody like him. So he heard a lot.
Yeah, my best friend had he bought a used Amiga 1200, I think. And the guy who sold it, this was in the 90s, and the guy who sold it have used it for a few years to edit video. And I remember reading that when the Pentium 4 came out, that it was the first non-Amiga system that could that had the same power as far as video editing was concerned as the Amiga 1200 had from maybe 10 years before that.
The same chip that you used in the early Macintoshes, the 6000s, the same chip as in the Macintosh.
Yeah.
They're in the same series, yeah.
Lol.
Yeah, I remember the Amiga. I never did end up getting an Amiga, but I actually worked at Electronics Boutique, which is now EB Games.
Do they still exist?
It's called EB Games now.
Wow, we were in the malls.
They bought up Games and Gadgets, so I actually started there part time and. And after 4 years, became store manager of a local electronics boutique.
I remember those in the malls. Yeah,
that certainly was a lot of fun. And the Amiga machines, they had the Elgato capture cards and stuff like that. I mean, that was state of the art.
Hmm.
It was quite a good machine. I mean, for the time, yeah. I think 68 0030, I think, the chip in it. Quite a good chip, yeah.
And if I remember correctly, the Amiga had no command line interface. Everything was graphical.
Okay.
I recently read in the press here that they're looking for COBOL programmers like crazy.
Oh yeah.
I saw that.
Wow.
How I started, after basic COBOL.
Yeah, my dad was a COBOL.
Yeah, I did mostly Fortran back in those days.
Oh, that's impressive. That's really tough stuff.
I enjoy it. I mean, that's what I learned in high school. I actually, I don't know if John Wally, which is now Wally Computer, which is right at local here in Massachusetts. He was my high school teacher, and we did Fortran on the punch cards and fed them into the big computer in the other room, and it was great because I kind of had free reign. I mean, I did all the classroom stuff, but I love the program, and so I would like make up my own programs, put them in, and I would show them to him, and he'd like, okay, what, you know, he would go through and like, what about this? What about, you know, what about this? And push me to think about improving my code.
Yeah.
I don't really consider myself a coder. I certainly have the foundations. I haven't really done a lot with it in a long time, although my grandson working on gaming in using what is it called now? Just recently, but it involves some C# scripts. We're working on that together. My grandson's 9 years old, so he's been messing around with that. It's pretty impressive what he knows and understands already at 9 years old.
Yeah.
Ron, get him into blockchain programming.
Blockchain?
Absolutely. I mean, starting with JavaScript and then maybe Python, that's it. And all those languages in blockchain are based on basically on those two, yeah. And he's set for life then.
But he
they're looking currently for I mean, if you want to have a job, then in blockchain it's vacancy like crazy. And salaries of a good programmer, they're minimum 150K.
Wow.
Yeah, he'll be working by the time he's 11.
Yeah, because they're all in the basics. So there's nothing. I mean, with Fortran, you're classified as a geek,
right?
Speaking of programming, I remember 20 years ago when the year 2000 scare was going around, and in the last half a year before the turn of the millennium. I remember reading that the U.S. government, there was an article about the system that ran the printing of the pension checks and the salaries of all the government and employees, a few million, that was having a salary each month. And they said that they did not know what would happen at the turn of in January when there was going to be a new batch of printing, because the system that ran printing was at that time it was 18 years old, and no one has the source code, and the company who made it went out of business 15 years ago. No one had the source code, and they have, I think they even managed to get hold of one or two of the developers who made the program, and no one had the source code, and no one had any idea how to check if it what would happen. Obviously nothing happened.
Why can I uncompile it and then try and get the source code from that? Why couldn't I uncompile the code?
Yeah, I'm guessing that they had tried that, but it was unsuccessful for some reason. So, and I also remember that when the turn did happen, I read that the only system that actually had a crash due to the Y2K was a governmental large system in China, and all they did was turning them off and then on, and everything was back to normal.
So. Oh yeah, I remember those days when everybody was in an uproar getting it, because all the computer dates were just were 2 digits for the years.
Right.
They never. Yeah. They had to upgrade all the machines.
Oh, Y2K was big business.
Yeah. And I remember I did some testing myself. All you had to do to circumvent this, as far as the computer were concerned, was to enter the date manually, and then it changed from 19 to 20. The two first dates didn't change automatically. So you just had to enter the date manually, and then you were safe.
There you go.
So, but I remember I had with me on a New Year's party there that year. I had with me the Game & Watch that I showed last week, in case that if something happened, then I could. Then I had something that would still work. So we made a good laugh after that.
Good old times.
Yeah. And now about a month ago, I read that they have the Linux kernel developers. They have managed to fix the year 30 in 2038. That's a 32-bit date integer rolls around.
Oh, it does.
Yeah. And then, by that time, most people should have switched away from 32-bit operating systems.
But I would hope so.
Yeah, but it turns out that there's a few special cases that they can't do that in the medical appliances and so on. But they actually fixed that. They changed they changed the function that counts the date from 32 to 64 bit, just that function, and they made a new, they made a patch available and a new release a month ago.
Are you by the way following chess? Coming from Norway.
Yeah, a little bit.
Because there's currently two computers battling against each other. In the world championship.
I heard that.
one is Norwegian and the other one is American. And it's really, really interesting.
Wow.
I remember I did that in a program many years ago, 15 years ago, I think. I had Risk, the game, the Windows version. And you could have three local players. And one time I did it just to see what would happen. I made all the players a computer. I did three runs of the game. And the longest run, it actually took the computer 2 minutes for one side to win.
Wow.
And everything moved quite fast, and it was quite fun.
Well, it looks like we're coming down to the half hour. So,
yeah.
Well, it's been fun, guys.
Yeah, it has.
Yeah.
Let's do it again sometime.
Absolutely.
How about tomorrow?
I'll be here.
I'll be late this time. No, somebody rang me up about, he was showing me his power supply, which blew up. He was having a capacitor that blew up. And he asked me why it blew up. I said, he put the thing the wrong way round. And it was splurging stuff all over the place. I said, you're lucky you didn't lose your face with it. it was some sort of controller thing, a power supply controller thing it was. He asked me to fix it for him, but I can't fix it because I'm not allowed to get out of the house. And he can't go to me because if the police would stop him. So that's up time when I see you again. Sometime about 6 months' time or a year time. Because I think this thing will go on for another year, at least I reckon. Unfortunately. Okay, That's what outside looks like for me.
Well. Bright.
Yeah. Bright light.
Straight to fields and cows. And up on the cows across the river and come into our garden. which is quite interesting. They eat everything as well. So yeah, I'm right out in the wild somewhere around here. There's nothing between the nearest town, about 5 miles away, in either direction, in four directions. Yeah, three directions. Sorry, yeah. Ballymoney, Corain, and Bushmills. We don't talk about Bushmills. they all interbreed with each other. They all interbreed with each other. Well, the day, there's too much incense on there.
Oh dear.
Yeah, oh yeah, that very recently as well. And maybe, I wonder why that has to do with it. So, if you did a genealogy, you said, who do you think you are? They have good problems there.
Yeah. All right, gang. I'm going to cut out here. It's 12:30. So.
Yeah.
It's been great. Another coffee break. Saturday, yep. April 11th.
Yeah.
And
join us tomorrow, and then maybe we'll have Robbie Ferguson with us.
Yeah, I hope so. Even though tomorrow is Easter, I don't know what he's doing.
My mother's birthday tomorrow. She's 90 tomorrow.
Happy birthday.
My mother, yeah, she's 90 tomorrow, but she's got Alzheimer's, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Okay, guys. Have a good Bye. One. I'll see you tomorrow.
All right.
See you tomorrow.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.